Oh, Bob, I got really emotional in that last series of songs. Jesus Messiah, man, I tell you. We're going to be in Philippians today, if you wouldn't mind turning there, Philippians chapter number 2. We're going to start in verse number 5. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. And if you found that, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning? Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I am not adequate to deliver this message today. I pray, Father, that you send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will speak through me. Just the idea that Jesus came to this earth to die for me is too much from this mind today. I thank you, God, for sending your Son. I'm thankful that he was obedient even to the end. And Father, as we start this series, Destination Golgotha, we're going to look at the life of Christ as he turns from the north and starts heading towards Jerusalem, knowing in his mind and heart and soul that his whole duty will be to die. Father, I pray that you'll work this morning in the hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll have freedom in our service today. Lord, I thank you for every visitor that's here. I thank you for every member that's here. Father, today may we lift you up and worship you in praise and honor that you we would have bestowed upon you in such a way that you'll look down upon us and say, what a sweet smelling savor it is, the offering of prayers and worship and pure joy. And Father, we ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing to me that Easter is just a few weeks away. I don't know why it's coming so early this year, but maybe it's not coming early, but for me, it just seems like it's coming early. Today, this begins a whole new series, and as I'm looking at this, the title of the message today is All In. It reminded me of a hymn, and it's number 275 in your hymnal. It goes something like this. It was written by a guy by the name of Judson Van Devender and Winfred Whedon. And you may not know it by their names, but you may know it by the words itself. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. do you think? You may have sung that song about 1,000 times. And every time I've sung it, you know, I often wonder, am I really truly giving God everything? Title of the message is All In. And I really believe that there's an important difference here to make between those that are contributors and those that are all in. There's a story kind of talking about that. And the question is, in a bacon and eggs breakfast, what's the difference between the chicken and the pig? Well, the chicken's involved, but the pig, he's totally committed. And I think in many cases, we today, there may be some of you sitting out there that you may be involved, but are you really committed? I look at what some of the world says about Jesus himself and his commitment. H.G. Wells said, I'm a historian and I'm not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history. Napoleon Bonaparte made this statement. I know men, and I'll tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force? Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. There's an inscription in the entrance to the Rockefeller Center in New York City. I don't know if you've ever been there, but right above the doorway is this inscription. Man's ultimate destiny depends on not whether he can learn new lessons or make new discoveries or conquests, but on the acceptance of the lesson taught him close upon 2,000 years ago, referring to Jesus Christ. From the time of the giving of the law, there were three basic offices within the Jewish community. One was the priest, one was the prophet, and the other was the king. In each one of these, God ruled and God reigned. For example, it's common knowledge that the priest, his whole job was to serve God. The prophet spoke for God. And the king, he ruled for God. When a person is chosen to be one of these offices, normally he is anointed. We have the great anointing of Moses. We have the anointing of Elijah. We have the anointing of Samuel. We have the anointing of David. All these clearly said in the scriptures. And at this anointing, then there was oil that was poured upon their head. Psalms chapter number 133. You can read that. It's a very short psalm, and it's about the anointing of Aaron as the chief priest. It's a beautiful representation. It says the oil is poured upon his head and it rolls upon his body and actually catches in the folds of his garment. That is the type of anointing we're talking about today. Jesus Christ did not receive the anointing in the same manner. Instead of oil, he was totally anointed by the Holy Spirit in his life. The New Testament gives us various places and various things that we could look at this morning about these different roles that Jesus actually had and Jesus actually did on behalf of you and I today. You see, Jesus was all in every aspect of his life, and he became our high priest. He is a prophet, and one day he will be king of kings, of all kings. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus quoted these verses in Luke chapter number 4. In verses 16 through 21, he says these words. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was a custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll to the place where these words were written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Unlike the priests, the kings, Jesus Christ himself was ordained from the very beginning of time to fulfill the role. We today are here basically because he was not only just our Lord, not just because he was a priest, not because he was a prophet, not because he was a king, but he also came as our Savior. As I was listening to the song, I was overwhelmed this morning. And normally I'm not that kind of person, but I was so overwhelmed when I'm thinking about just exactly what Jesus has done. And we're coming into this time of the year when we're going to celebrate what we call Easter. You know, I would a lot rather call it Resurrection Sunday. So from this point forward, I'm not going to refer to it as Easter any longer. I'm going to refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. I got goosebumps all over me right now. You think I'm kidding. Resurrection Sunday. It was his mission that he was given, and he told us what his mission was here on this earth. Was Jesus all in? I think absolutely he was all in. And every aspect that God asked him to do, he was responsible for those things, and he fulfilled those. For example, in Luke chapter number 19 and verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man comes to seek and to save the lost." Amen on that one. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Because one day I was lost. Lost as a goose. I was involved in church. I was involved in all those things. You've heard my testimony many, many times, but I tell you, I can't ever get over the idea that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he came to earth to die for me, and that God sent him out of heaven, out of the grandeur of heaven, down to this earth, and he came down here just for me. There's not enough words to express exactly how I feel about that. He says, he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. He says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen to that one. The day he looked down upon me, I'm a sinner. You know, and I hear people say all the time, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Yes, yes, yes. But remember, you're always a sinner. No matter what we do and how good we are, you can turn to the right and left right now and look. We're all sinners. But for the work of Jesus Christ, we would all be doomed and going to hell right now. Jesus was all in. He said, "This is the reason I came." John chapter 17, verses number 1 through 4, he says, "And when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom all you have given him, and this is the eternal life that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do.'" Man, I think about that and I say, thank you, Jesus, that not only did you come down here willingly, but you did everything God asked you to do. God the Father said, this is what I'm giving you, and you're going to do it anyway. This 17th chapter in the book of John is probably one of my favorite of all chapters. People talk about the Lord's Prayer, and they talk about all these others, but I got to be honest with you. The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter number 17. Look at that verse. When he's between the supper and between the Gethsemane, he stops at a place and he prays to God and he thanks God for who he is. And he thanks him that he has sent him out in this world. And he thanks him for all those that he has put in his hand. And he says, "And not one of them has left my hand." John chapter number 10, verse 10, "The thief comes not to steal and to kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Man, we ought to have abundant life. We ought to be a percolator. You know, my mom and dad, they used to have one of those old coffee pots, and it was a two kind of thing. I don't know, kind of hourglassy shaped. Anyhow, they'd pour grounds in the top of it, pour water in that thing, and pretty soon it'd start percolating. When it started percolating, there was a little bit of vapor that was coming out. Steam was coming out of the snout of that thing. And you could just see the coffee just start percolating in there. And I tell you, that's the kind of Christian we ought to be today in this world. We ought to be percolating. When the world sees us, they ought to see that there's something different in us. After all, Jesus was all in. He came down to this earth for you, and he came down here so that you can have joy and it can be fulfilled in every aspect of your life. Looking out among you, some of you need more joy. Jesus accomplished all the work. He accomplished all the work of prophet, priest, and king. He did it all. So when I look at these particular roles, I understand that Jesus was a prophet. Jesus came and he told things. He told them not only the history of things that would have happened in the past, and he clarified those for them because he consistently quoted from the Old Testament, but he also told them the things that were going to happen in the future. He talked to them when they were in the upper room. He gave them this thing they call the upper room discourse, and all it really means is Jesus was teaching the disciples. And Jesus was teaching about the end times, and they said, hey, can you tell us when that's going to happen? And then Jesus goes into a great long dialogue to explain to them how it's going to be in the end. Man, I'm thankful for that teaching. I'm thankful that we have it in our scriptures and we can understand. The end is coming. It's going to come to all of us. One thing I do know, that we were born to die. So there's a big, big, big issue in our lives, and that's the dash. Bob Crowder, 1949, dash. And one day, my death date will be on there. The importance is not the day I was born or the day I died. The importance is the dash. Am I all in? That's the question. You can say, well, you're the pastor. You've got to be all in. I beg your pardon. We've all got to be all in. That's the very thing that God has given us. God, in the form of Jesus Christ, fulfilled the role of prophet. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He took that up from John the Baptist after John the Baptist was slain. Jesus took that up and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was trying to tell them there comes a time when the kingdom will be here on this earth and you had to be prepared for that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He goes on later in John chapter number 7, verse number 16. He says, so Jesus answered and said, my teaching is not mine, but it's he who sent me. It was God who sent him. This is not my teaching. These are God the Father himself. This is what we're all about today. This is what I want you to know. Jesus said to them in John chapter number 8 and verse 28, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I can do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. Consistently, he repeated over and over, these are not my words. You know, I really love the idea that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and he came as a form of a servant. It would have been easy if he came in the form of the king at this particular time. Everybody would have riled up the day that he marched into Jerusalem and they're laying the palm fronds on the front of him and they're singing hallelujah to him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There would have been armies stopping him because the Romans wouldn't want that to happen. But instead, in he came and there was those folks who were before him, they're with him and they were laying those palm fronds down and Jesus was walking across just as it had been prophesied. He would be riding on a donkey. Everything Jesus did was according to the will of God. He was all in. Every aspect of his life, he was all in. Now, some would say, well, he was God. Yeah, he was God. You're absolutely right, he was God. But he was all man as well. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me he was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted today, and yet without sin. How about that? The functions of the prophet basically are three. Number one is that the prophet was to be a spokesman for God. And of course, Jesus was every place that he went. He spoke about God. He spoke about the kingdom of heaven. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Everything he spoke about was because God had sent him to do that. Jesus fulfilled that role in every aspect. The second main portion of being a prophet is this, that he would predict future events. Well, Jesus most certainly did. Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection in several places. Matter of fact, here in Matthew chapter number 16, he tells his disciples that I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and in that, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. In the 17th chapter, he says exactly the same thing. In the 20th chapter, he tells them again, over and over, he told his disciples, I am going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem. I will be laid at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and they are going to put me to death, but I am not going to stay in the grave. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the earth, and I'm going to be with the Father. Now, that is what he is today to us. He is not only just a prophet, but he is also the king. I tell you today that if he stood in here this morning, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that's some king. All to Jesus, I surrender. Are we really? Jesus was all in. When it comes to time of being a priest, he fulfilled that job in every aspect of the role. Jesus was both the sacrifice and the priest. Boy, that's a tough one, huh? Not only is he the priest that takes in and listens to our prayers, but he also offers those up to God. What a sweet deal that is. Do you know today that if you're a Christian, you can enter into the very throne room of God because of the work of Jesus Christ? When I pray, I don't pray to an idol. I don't pray to some sort of stick figure. I don't pray to something that was made out of gold. I don't pray to a tree. I don't pray to the sky. I pray to God. And how do I know that I'm getting through? Because the Bible tells me over and over that my prayers go right straight through him because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of his work now that I can fulfill, if you will, my role here in this earth. And that is that not only am I a saved person, but I'm also the priest. He says, you are a priesthood. Thank you very much for that. I don't know what all that means, but I'm glad that I have it. But I'm even more glad that I can mimic Jesus Christ, although I don't want to be the sacrifice. How about you? Hebrews chapter number 7, verses 27 and 28 says these words. He has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then those of the people. Since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of an oath which came later than the law appoints the Son who has been made perfect forever. So he is the high priest that never has to offer an offering for his own sin as the earthly priest would have to do. He is beyond that. He is the perfect man and he is the perfect God. Down in this flesh, I don't know how in the world you can be perfect, but the Bible tells me over and over that he also was tempted and tried just like you and I. Jesus is the king. Now, this is what most people missed when they first came. They were expecting him when he walked into Jerusalem and all his followers were with him and they were singing songs, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Boy, they were so excited that he was going to finally take up the mantle of the King David and be the king over Israel, and they would throw out all the Romans and they'd all be gone, and now they would have forever, they would have their own kingdom set up. They would not be under persecution anymore. They would not be under the rule of somebody else, but instead they would be under the rule of the Messiah. The Messiah means anointed one. The name Christ in the New Testament is Christos, and it means exactly the same thing, the anointed one. The anointed one has come, and many, many, many people have missed it. But I want to tell you today, you don't have to miss it today. Matter of fact, his whole desire is that you not miss that. Before his birth, Jesus Christ was prophesied that he would be king. From his birth, he was always king. But there's something that happened. He became the rejected king. His own group of folks rejected him. The religious elders rejected him. Judaism as a whole rejected him because they were looking for something else. Matthew 27, verse 11 says, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he said, you said so. Matthew 27, 28 through 31, just later in that same chapter, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him and twisting together a crown of thorns. And they put it upon his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when he had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now, we all know the story. But you know one of the things about that story that I just love. After all this has happened, Pilate washes his hands. They go ahead and they get ready for him to die. And he then proclaims, he says, well, I want you to put a sign over his head. King of the Jews. In three languages. Anybody walking up would not see that they didn't understand what in the world it was in. It was in Latin, it was in Hebrew, and it was in Greek. Here he is, King of the Jews. Pilate proclaimed it. He said it. And the world still continued to reject him. Jesus was all in every aspect that God asked him to do. He was all in. Every part of him was there. Jesus died as a king. Oh, what a terrible day that was. And yet for us Christians, it was one step in the plan of salvation. He rose as a king. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, that he, God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all the rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That is who we praise today. That is who we worship today. That is who we lift up our songs and our prayers to. It is him who is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever and ever and ever. And you and I have a part in that because he was obedient to God. As a prophet, Jesus confronts us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. That's just against our very nature, isn't it? Repenting, I'm sorry. Aren't those hard words to say? I don't know if you're married, you've had to use those words a few times. I'm sorry. You've raised children, you've had to use those words, I'm sorry. If you have relationships, you've had to use those words. So how do we get through our day? Well, we get through our day with Jesus Christ because he confronts us with our sins. He also comforts us. I love it that he comforts us. I love it that he said to his disciples, I'm going, but I'm sending the comforter. I'm sending them. Just be ready because he's coming. I love it that he didn't say, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Instead, he says, I'm sending the Comforter, which, by the way, is the Holy Spirit. And finally, as King, Jesus commands us. There are things he wants us to do. He was all in. Everything about him was all in. When I read again the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, have this mind among yourselves, which is in you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count it quality with God, a thing to be grasped. He never went around bragging that he was God. Never told people, you got to do this because I'm God. If you don't do this, I'm going to strike you dead because I'm God. Never said that. He goes on to say, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men. He was king. He was from heaven. God says, will you go down to the earth? Will you sacrifice your body? Will you sacrifice for all these people because I love them so much? Will you do that? Yes. And he came in the form of a human, and then he humbled himself to become obedient. Obedient. Even to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Ooh, tell you, I was listening to that music this morning, and I got to tell you what a great selection of music you pulled this morning, brother. There's not enough musicians in the world to compare what it's going to be like in heaven. There's not a choir on this earth. Oh, I know you might talk about Preston Woods Choir and others, but I'm telling you, there's not a choir on this earth who's going to be like when we step through the portals and we get to hear the choir of all those who went before us and are singing. I can't wait to hear that. That's all happened, and it's all going to happen in the future for those of us that know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. Where did he get his name? From God. God gave him the name. So that at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. Can you imagine that one? God just looks at Jesus and says, Jesus. And at that time, all the angels get down on their hands and knees. All the 24 elders get down on their hands and knees. All those who are there in that, all those Christians who have gone on before us will be down on their knees. Why? Because just the name is enough to drive us to our knees. Just the name is enough to say, we are not arrived, but Jesus has arrived. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, I'll get down on my knees, and I'll praise him, and I'll praise him, and I'll praise him, and I'll thank him for what he has done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for dying. Thank you that one time you have been separated from God, and that is when God caused darkness to come across the face of the earth, when my sins were placed upon him. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sins. Oh, my. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for being all in. Thank you for accomplishing all the things that God has asked you to do. Thank you that you are all in. And every tongue should confess that he is Lord. There's a song that's put out by a guy by the name of Matthew West, and it's called All In. I just want to read you a few lines of that song. He says, my feet are frozen on this middle ground. The water's warm here, but the fire's gone out. I played it safe for so long, the passion is left. Turns out safe is just another word for regret. So I step to the edge, and I take a deep breath. We're all dying to live, but we're all scared to death. And this is the part where my head tells my heart, you should turn back around. But there's no running back now. I'm going all in. Head first into the deep. I hear you calling. And this is the time that fear just won't win. I'm going all in. Every part of me is there. I believe that one day I will see your kingdom come. And I want to hear you say, welcome home, my child. Well done. So I step to the edge and I take a deep breath. I'm not turning back around because there's no turning back now because I'm all in. Jesus was all in. My question for you today is, are you all in? Is being a Christian the most important part of your life? If it's not, today you can rectify that. I'm going all in. Pretty soon, matter of fact, you guys can come on down. The musicians are going to come. Bob's going to come, and we're going to sing a couple of verses of invitation. And this is not the time to check your watch or figure out where you're going for dinner. This is a time to get close to God and say, God, can you please reveal to me those areas where I'm not all in? Can you show me today that area of my life that I'm not all in? Maybe I think I am, but Lord, can you reveal it to me? Am I all in? Is living for you more important than any other thing in my life? If not, today you can make that right. Can we all please stand? Heavenly Father, I come before you now, and I thank you just for taking a look at Jesus and what he's done for mankind. Because you asked him to be. You asked him to be the priest. You asked him to be a prophet. You asked him to be a great teacher. You asked him to carry the message of John the Baptist. You asked him the most horrific thing, question. Take on all of mankind's sin and just offer it once. Lord, I'm thankful that Jesus said yes. He left the comfort of heaven. And he came down to this earth so that we could have eternal life with you. Lord, I ask you this morning to have your way. May we not be hesitant, Lord, to come forward and confess our sins. May we not be hesitant, Lord, to say, I'll take care of that later. Father, this is the time. This is the appointed time. This is the appointed hour. I pray, Father, today that we will walk out those back doors different than when we came in today. Oh, Lord, blessed Messiah, name above all names, King of kings, Lord of our life, please have your way now. That people look up and to see you. May they look at you on the cross and realize that you did that just for them. Lord, I put this invitation in your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.